Hi, friends. This is Yolando. Thank you for listening to this sermon podcast. I want to let you know that we had some challenges with the original recording of this message, and so what's presented here is a re-recording of the original message. It's just me at the microphone in my office. Nonetheless, we hope that you enjoy this message and that it contributes to your joy.
You are listening to the Sunday morning podcast of Derrida Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We pray you will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Hear now the word of God, Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 26. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I am in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Someone once said, attitude determines altitude. There was a study conducted of the happiness of Olympic athletes, well, specifically of Olympic medal winners. Psychologists were surprised to discover that those who came in third place and got the bronze medal were actually happier than those who came in second place and got the silver medal. And you would think it would be the other way around, right? That the one who got the silver medal would be happier than the one who got the bronze medal. Psychologists discovered that attitude made the difference. The silver medal winners were often thinking, I lost by just 1/100th of a second. I should be the one getting the gold medal. And conversely, the bronze medal winners were thinking, whew, I barely got the bronze. I barely won by 1/100th of a second. I could have been in fourth place without any medal at all. Attitude, friends, determines how you see and enjoy your life. Attitude determines how you see the things you go through in your life. So I got to ask you today, how's your attitude? Here's a better question. How's your attitude when trial, trouble, and suffering enter your life? Do you get angry, bitter, wallow in self-pity? Do you become that person that people want to avoid because most of the things you talk about are negative? Here's an even better question. How's your attitude when trial and suffering enter your life through no fault of your own? You've done nothing wrong, nothing immoral or sinful. As a matter of fact, you're doing your best to walk in faithfulness to the Lord, and yet the pain and stress and hardship of suffering just enter your life. On the surface, it makes no sense at all and seems totally and completely unfair. That's where the Apostle Paul is in our text today. Paul is under arrest, in prison, in chains, in Rome. For 2 years, he's been awaiting a trial that could end in his execution. He's in jail not because of criminal activity, but for sharing the gospel. He's in jail for sharing the good news that the God of Israel has acted decisively to set the world aright. That is, to fix the fall by becoming a human being in Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus was nailed to a cross, taking onto himself the sin and evil of the world. He died and was buried. And on that glorious third day, Jesus rose in victory over all the powers of sin and death that up to that point had held the world in demonic captivity. This same Jesus ascended into heaven and sits right now. He sits now on the throne as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this same Jesus is returning to create a new heaven and a new earth. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. The nations will not war anymore. The lion will lay down with the lamb in a earth restored to paradise. Paul, the apostle, was in jail for proclaiming this message. In our text today, Paul is writing to the Philippians to let them know how he's doing in jail. And he wants to communicate to them not so much about his physical condition, but about his attitude, the state of his spirit. Paul wants them to know that in spite of his unfair and unpleasant circumstances, that he is filled with joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy that the world can't give or take away. Paul is in danger, but he is not discouraged. He's in prison, but he's not pouting. He's in a hard place, but he is not heartbroken. Death was near, but Paul was not in dread. Yes, Paul was chained up, but not broken down. How was Paul able to do this? How was the Apostle Paul able to walk in this kind of joy? And how can we, in the midst of the hardships of life and ministry. First, you've got to understand that no matter what you're going through, you have an opportunity to be a witness for Jesus. You may not understand one bit why you are going through what you're going through. Your circumstances may be unfair or the result of someone doing you wrong. But in the midst of it, you have an opportunity to witness for Jesus. Listen, friends, people are watching you. People are watching how you go through hardship and trial. How you walk through hardship says something about your faith. It says something about what you truly, truly believe. Look at what Paul writes here in our text in verses 12 and 13. Paul writes, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ." Picture, friends, Paul's situation. Not only was he in a Roman jail, but he was chained to a Roman guard 24 hours a day. And not just any old guard. He was chained to the palace guard, the Praetorian guard. They were the Navy SEALs of the Roman army, the elite of the elite. And these guards would have been rotated in shifts to watch Paul. And you can imagine a conversation between Paul and one of these guards. The guard says, "I see you are in chains for disobeying our Lord." That's how they referred to Caesar in Rome, our Lord. "I can see you are in chains for disobeying our Lord." Paul says, "No, I'm actually in chains for obeying the Lord." And then you can imagine him sharing the gospel of Jesus. Oh, friends, not only would these guards have heard the gospel from Paul, they would have also watched and seen his joy in the midst of hardship. And so Paul tells the Philippians that his hardship and chains has actually resulted in the whole palace guard hearing about Christ. He says that his hardship and chains has served to advance the gospel. There are members of this church. There are brothers and sisters in this congregation who have walked through major sickness with a faith in Jesus that is a witness to the gospel. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord for your witness. First, no matter what you're going through today, you have an opportunity to witness for Jesus. Second, Your joy and faithfulness in the midst of hardship will bring encouragement to believers who are timid and afraid. Remember that your attitude not only affects you, but it affects others as well. We are well aware of how one negative person can, like a virus, infect a whole group. But we forget often that it also works in the reverse. One joyful person can spark encouragement in others. One joyful person can inspire timid people to boldness, and fearful people to courage. Look again at verse 14. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Word got out. Word got out beyond the jail how Paul was rejoicing in the midst of his suffering. And instead of hiding or going underground, believers were emboldened to proclaim the gospel without fear. They saw how the Lord enabled Paul to walk through suffering, and they became confident in the Lord. And listen, it's not that the threat or danger from Rome was any less for the Philippians than for Paul. It's that the example of Paul made them confident in the Lord. Oh, friends, I got to ask you today, who are you giving confidence to by your example? Again, people are watching you. When you go through hardship, go through it like you know Jesus. Go through it like you know that Jesus really is the Lord of heaven and earth. Third, trusting God in the midst of hardship and suffering will help you. Trusting God in the midst of hardship and suffering will help you see what's most important. It will give you a right perspective. Look again at verse 15 through the first half of verse 18. Paul writes, "It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The most important thing in every way, whether from false motives or true, is that Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice." Friends, suffering has a way of helping you see what's most important. When you think that your life may be coming to an end, there are things that may normally bother you that, well, they just no longer get your attention. Paul is not concerned about other preachers who are preaching out of envy. That is, they're just trying to take advantage of Paul being in jail by now trying to gain a following for themselves. Their message was right, but their motives were wrong. And Paul doesn't take it personally. He says the important thing is Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Many years ago, the theologian C.S. Lewis said, quote, "God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone." Friends, suffering has a way of focusing us on what really matters. What is God saying to you through the megaphone of pain about what's most important in your life right now? What is God saying to us as a church through the megaphone of pain about what's most important for us as a church right now? Fourth, when you choose to rejoice in the midst of hardship and suffering, it will give you courage to take the next step of faithfulness. Again, listen to the second half of verse 18 to verse 20. Paul writes, "Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage, so that now, as always, Christ may be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death." Notice, friends, Paul's primary concern. Notice his primary concern. It is not whether he lives or dies. Trying to avoid death is not his focus. Instead, his concern is that he not be ashamed. That is, he does not want to shrink back, lose heart, or run away from the mission. He says, "I've got people praying for me. I've got the Holy Spirit. I've got the Spirit of Jesus. So I expect and hope that I will not be ashamed. I'm not going to run away from this. I'm not going to shrink back. I'm not going to lose heart. I expect that I will not be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage to exalt Christ, whether I live or die." Paul just wants the courage to take the next step of faithfulness, which for him meant standing and testifying before Emperor Nero. And be reminded, friends, that Nero was no friend of Christians, right? He was the one who sent Christians to be torn apart by wild animals in the Roman Colosseum. He was the one who used Christians as human torches to light up his garden at night. But for Paul, there's something worse than death. And that is not being faithful. Friends, there are churches all across this country that are aging and in decline. You know what the greatest fear is? Closing. Death. They have circled the wagons and given up. They've stopped being bold and risk-taking because they've forgotten that there is something worse than death: not being faithful. And besides that, if death comes, we serve a God who knows how to raise the dead. Listen, friends, when you are ready to die, right? When you are ready to die, you are best prepared to live. Paul says, "Whether I live or die, I just want to be faithful. I just want to be faithful." Look at verses 21 through 26. "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me." Paul is saying, I think I'm going to get to leave here and be with you all again, but if I don't, it's okay. If I live, it's okay. If I die, it's okay. Either way, in Jesus, I'm a winner. Again, you can imagine a conversation between Paul and a guard. The guard says something like, "Caesar might let you go." Paul, "Well, great, I get to keep on serving Jesus by proclaiming his gospel." The guard says, well, "Caesar might let you rot in jail." Paul, "Then I will continue to rejoice in Jesus." The guard, "Caesar might kill you." To that, Paul says, "Great, I get to go and be with Jesus. Either way, I'm a winner." Friends, how do you stop a person like that? How do you stop a church like that? You don't. You don't. My brothers and sisters, may your attitude be one of relentless joy, because in Jesus, you're a winner either way. Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.